Book of Colossians, chapter 1. A goal of the Christian. A goal of the Christian. As praying and studying, I thought about preaching on the patience of God this morning, which I think is always good, because God is very patient with us, isn't He? And we are a work in progress, and all of us mess up. So thank God for His patience. But I think we'll save that for next Sunday as we continue looking at the personal perfections of God. But Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. If you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Word, if you're able. Verse 9 of Colossians 1. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You may be seated. Thank you. May the Lord bless the reading, the teaching, the preaching of His Word. We've been launching from these verses on Sunday mornings as we've been looking at the personal perfections of God. But this morning I want to break these verses down for us. And go over, I think it would be very encouraging, has been for me, I think it would be for the church, to see. I think this is also good in that it shows us how we should pray one for another. As I mentioned earlier, we are a work in progress. Every Christian is. We gain and we fail, don't we? We see that all through the Bible with the people who belong to the Lord, how they would have successes and then they would have failures. And I'm not sure about y'all, but I don't like my failures. But one thing is for sure, we learn from those things, don't we? We learn and we go forward for the Lord. So I'm thankful for the Word of God, which does, again here, it shows us one of the goals we should have as a Christian. We've been learning on Sunday mornings about God, that He is infinite. His decrees will be accomplished. No one and nothing can stop or thwart what He has decreed to come to pass. He is all-knowing. We've been learning that God is faithful, that God is good. And it's very important you and I grow in the knowledge of God. As the end of verse 10 tells us, increasing in the knowledge of God. All of us have goals in life. We have aspirations, we have dreams of things that we want to do, especially as kids. How many of y'all dreamed when you was a kid of being a professional athlete or maybe a doctor or a lawyer or someone who's makes a lot of money? Maybe you have a dream of being a truck driver or a heavy equipment operator or someone who just works wherever. Amen. Works around. Or maybe your dream was to be a homemaker and to be a wife that stays at home and watches the kids, and or raises the kids, I should say, not watches them, amen, but raises them and takes care of the home, and that's biblical, amen. But one thing's for sure is that though we have goals, those things can often change. Things happen in our lives. We have a goal, say, to be here at a certain time. Well, things happen between here and there, and we see that that's not going to happen. So we have to change some things in our minds that we want to do. But for the Christian, the goal doesn't change. It stays the same. No matter what's going on in our lives, our goal is to grow in the knowledge of who our God is. And this should be not just our goal, but our desire for ourselves and for the church. A church that's growing in the knowledge of who God is a church that's maturing in the Lord. They are becoming mature saints in the Lord. Listen, just because you've been saved for 20, 30, or 50 years does not mean that you are a mature Christian. And just because the Lord saves you when you are older, say in your 60s or 50s, 80s, whatever it may be, that still doesn't mean that you are a mature Christian. You are still a babe in Christ. We are to grow in the knowledge of who our God is. We have trials come in our lives. And how we respond shows us where we are in our progression in the knowledge of who God is from the Scriptures. Who is our God? That's the question we've been asking ourselves on Sunday mornings. Who is our God? Is our view of God, does it come from the Bible? Or does it come from the world around us? And again, how we respond to things that happen in our lives shows us how we view our God. So let's look in verse 9. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Ever since Paul heard about the Colossians, a church he had not yet met, they had been praying for them, Paul and those with him. This prayer is not just a generic prayer, "Lord, help them," so on and so forth. No, it is a prayer that is specific. This prayer has a goal in mind. This prayer is also regulated by the Scriptures. Therefore, it is a biblical prayer. It's not a fleshly prayer. It's not a, "Lord, I want these fancy rims for my vehicle" prayer, or "I want a shiny vehicle or a new house." No, this is for the church, that they would go on to know who the God of the Bible is. Biblical prayers are heard and answered by God. We've looked at that multiple times from 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. The word "pray" in verse 9 here in Colossians means to pray to God, to supplicate, to worship. This is in the present tense, which means they are doing this continually and repeatedly. The word "desire" is also in the present tense here in verse 9, and is spoken in respect of God, to supplicate, to pray. Paul and those with him, their prayer and their desire, their request for God is to do something for the Colossians. What is it? Well, the prayer for the Colossians is not for those things that will rust, rot, or be stolen by men. No, they are praying for those things that will make the Colossians better Christians, better servants of God, and better servants of each other. We can get focused on this world, can't we? And get overcome with all these things that's around us and start desiring things that will take our thoughts and our focus away from the Lord. That's not what Paul's praying for. He's praying that they would be better Christians, mature Christians. So the first request here in verse 9 is that they would be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Fill means to supply abundantly. Keep in mind that Paul is praying to God. And God is the only one that can do this. Luke chapter 10, verse 22 says, "All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son." Here's the last part of that verse. "And he to whom the Son will reveal him." Revealing God to someone is only something that God can do. We have the responsibility to study, but only God can reveal Himself to us. And He does this is very important, through the Scriptures. Again, the Scriptures never change. We've learned this, that God doesn't change, does He? The Scriptures stay the same. So you and I are to learn about who our God is from the Scriptures, not from a church tradition or from some magazine in the grocery store or anything else like that. We learn who our God is from the Scriptures. Again, they don't change. Paul is praying to the Lord because the Colossians are not completely filled yet. They're not completely filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And guess what? We aren't either. That's why this is a good prayer to pray for us continually, for all of us, that we would be filled. We should pray the same thing for each other because we are not filled yet either. And here's the fact, is that in this life, we won't be totally filled with the knowledge of who God is. We do not have a complete understanding. So what do? We stay in the Word. We stay under the preached Word. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16. It says, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why God gave the church pastors and teachers. And how long are the pastors and teachers to pastor and to teach? Verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How long is that going to take? All of our lives. This is never ending. We're always learning. If you remember when we first started, I talked about us having successes and also what? Failure. This is the Christian walk. We're going forward. Listen, things happen. We get knocked down. We get beat up. I said to Brother Pat this morning, I said, I feel like I've been jumped by a gang and they beat me up, hurting from head to toe. Sometimes it happens in our Christian walk, doesn't it? Well, what is it that beats us up usually? It's not physically, is it, per se? The Bible tells us that our battle is not with flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. Do y'all remember what we're robed with? This sinful flesh. This body. This choker is lazy. Amen. This choker make excuses about why I don't need to do this, why I don't need to do that. All because it's not redeemed. Our flesh is at enmity with God. It hates God. So again, we are constant in prayer back in Colossians to be filled with the knowledge of His will. The word knowledge in this verse means full discernment, full knowledge, as spoken of what is known in the Scripture about God, Christ, and divine things. The word will is the determination, desire, pleasure, will. So where is God's will found? It's found in His Word. That's why Scripture intake is vitally important. Scripture, rightly studied, it shapes our minds and our hearts, which means it shapes our actions also when it's rightly studied. The world looks different through the lens of Scripture, doesn't it? Our families look different through the lens of Scripture. We look different through the lens of Scripture. Rightly divided, it shapes our minds, our hearts. So we should pray that we will be filled to the knowledge of God's will. Notice this, in all wisdom. What is wisdom? Well, here this speaks of divine wisdom. This is the ability to regulate one's relationship with God. This means to know how to apply the Scripture to our lives. That's very important. The Scripture, the Bible says, is a two-edged sword. It can be an offensive thing. It could be a defensive thing. And if it's not used correctly, it hurts. It doesn't help. Biblical knowledge is very important. So we pray for biblical knowledge and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Spiritual is that pertaining to or proceeding from the Holy Spirit. Understanding here is putting together in the mind. So what's going on here? We're growing. We have Bible intake. Amen. We're studying the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit is giving us understanding. He's putting it together in our minds as we break these verses down, as we rightly divide them. That means you keep it in context. You don't just take from here and take from there. You study the whole Word of God. Knowledge of the Scriptures with spiritual understanding causes us to walk worthy of the Lord. Listen, unto all pleasing. Pleasing to who? Is our question, right? Pleasing to God. This means that we'll also be fruitful in every good work, verse 10 says, and increasing in the knowledge of God. When we have scriptural knowledge without spiritual understanding, we become dangerous in a bad way. We become movement-minded instead of kingdom-minded. We can become like the Pharisees and look down on anyone who's not like us. That's not a good place to be. We begin to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. We grow in doctrine, but we become cold as ice towards others. We end up beating people with the Scriptures instead of loving on people. We are to stand upon the Word of God without compromising. But we are to do this loving God and loving people. Y'all know about the Corinthians, don't you? 1 and 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, we see they had a zeal for spiritual gifts, but they lacked something. They lacked love, and their actions showed it. Now, our actions and words proclaim what is in our hearts. Verse 10 of Colossians 1. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Might walk in this verse simply means to live. That we will live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. This is our lifestyle day in and day out. If we're doing verse 9, if we are praying this and if we are being filled with the knowledge of His will, and all wisdom, spiritual understanding, then the result would be verses 10 through 14. Let's read those verses together. You might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet, the partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Notice that in verse 11 that we'll be strengthened. Verse 12, we'll be given thanks. To who? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our life will be about Him, not about us. Not about us. We'll be walking, living, worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. We'll be living to fully please the Lord, not our sinful flesh. This will be in every aspect of our lives. Do you want your life to bring glory to the Lord? It's a good question to ask ourselves. John the Baptist said this regarding Christ. He said, I must decrease, but Christ must what? increase. And for the church to continue going forward, listen, this is not a place where we gather. This is not a social gathering. We gather here corporately 3 times a week, don't we? And we gather here to worship our Lord and Savior together. But when we're not here, we are still to be worshiping our Lord and Savior in our homes as we study the Word of God. And in our prayer time at home. And then we come here and we bring all this with us, we could say, together, corporately. We're to be accurately applying Scripture to our lives. No matter what's going on, we seek to apply Scripture and everything. Something comes up, so we say, okay, what do the Scriptures say about this? You may get a phone call. You may get a decision you got to make on whatever it is. Okay, what do the Scriptures say about this? How should I respond? What should I do? What's the Scripture say? So, well, it doesn't tell me which car to get. That's not... We're missing a point. Amen. Missing a point there. How would the Scriptures have us live? When we are seeking to please the Lord in all things, we will be fruitful in every good work. We will be abundantly producing good works in the eyes of the Lord. The word good in this verse means good character, disposition, quality, good works, deeds, and virtue. Since it is good works in the eyes of God, that means it's profitable for kingdom work. These good works are often found in the fruits of the Spirit, in Galatians 5, as we've looked at months ago. When we are living like this, we are exalting Christ, not ourselves. Our life is about Him. It's not about you and I. We can ask ourselves this question: will my action or reaction exalt Christ or my flesh? And then I want to state this, or say this, okay? None of us can look around and say, I'm better than so-and-so. We can't look around here and say, yeah, I'm more mature than they are. If that's anyone's mindset, then you're not mature at all. Because one thing I have learned over the years is that I don't know near as much as I used to about the Word of God. Amen. Some of y'all understand that. And I know I fail every day. And I am dependent upon the Lord's grace and His mercy. We've learned this. His mercies are what? They are new every day. So when I look around, I don't see people that I'm better than. No, not by no means. I see people who are just like me. I got the same battles I got. Amen. Y'all got the same problems I got. Mainly this old flesh, as I mentioned a while ago, that we are carrying around. We got the same problem. You're saved. You have the same God. Amen? Same one to help us to live for Him. Our prayer should be, our desire should be, that each of us would be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you and I might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This is what I want to see in myself. This is my desire for the church also. We would grow for His glory. Amen.